From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The demand for cities to defund their police stations is not a new one. It is only new to those who are finally taking seriously a core demand of the Black Lives Matter movement. While many are asking and debating what it means to defund the police, one need look no further than the work that activists have been doing for years. In Los Angeles, California, where the liberal Democratic mayor Eric Garcetti finally capitulated to a modest decrease in the LAPD's outsized budget, Black Lives Matter's LA chapter has laid extensive groundwork for a campaign that they call a People's Budget LA. A day after the historic budget cut, Dr. Melina Abdullah, a prominent member of Black Lives Matter LA, spoke to The Intercept about it.
Yesterday, the people won an initial victory against a police state that our mayor, Eric Garcetti, sought to usher in with his terrible budget proposal that sought to give LAPD 54% of the city's general fund. He tried to fast-track it through city council, but the people stood up and said no. We were successful in stopping that move and getting that budget proposal back to the budget committee where we can have a voice. What's next is the people saying, what do we want? What do we want to prioritize? We want to prioritize a budget that centers care, not cops. We need you to make your voice heard by looking for our survey that says, what do you want to spend on? Do we want to spend on housing and health care and educational enrichment? Do we want to spend on mental health resources and things that actually make communities safe, not brutalize, harass, and terrorize communities the way LAPD does?
That's Melina Abdullah, professor and chair of the Department of Pan-African Studies at California State University of Los Angeles, speaking to a reporter about a modest cut to Los Angeles's police budget. Dr. Abdullah now joins me. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So this issue of defunding the police, to many people who haven't been paying attention, sounds like a new idea. Of course, it's not a new idea, especially for folks like yourself who have been talking about this as part of the Black Lives Matter movement. There's such a debate about it. The Washington Post editorial board, you know, has an extensive piece. New York Times has been publishing stories about it. A lot of conservative politicians are distancing themselves from it and claiming that it's equivalent to saying disband the police. But of course, Minneapolis City Council has actually talked about disbanding the police. What does this defunding the police mean for you? How do you explain it to a layperson who's new to the movement?
Sure. Defunding the police means exactly what it says, right? So in most major cities, police departments eat up about 50% of the general fund, meaning the tax base, right? The unrestricted funds. And we think that's way too much. Most of the time when residents see how much goes directly to police, they're outraged and shocked. And so we think that it should be cut. And we actually have engaged in a participatory budgeting session. We've sent out surveys. And most people feel that traditional approaches to law enforcement should actually receive about 5%. That includes the police department, but it also includes prosecutor's office. It also includes things like traffic enforcement. So defunding the police is about remembering that what actually makes communities safe are resources and services. And so when budgeting is absolutely a zero sum game. When you spend 50% of your city's general fund on police, and here in Los Angeles, it's even more. Mayor Garcetti proposes spending 54% of the city's general fund on police. When you spend that much on police, it means that you don't have money for the other things that you need. So things like after school programs, permanent housing. It's no coincidence that we're spending 54% of the city's general fund on police, and we're the houseless capital of the nation, right? So 60,000 homeless people in LA County, because the city is not keeping those resources to provide permanent housing for its folks. We don't have access to healthy food. We don't have access to quality after school programs. There are very few parks around because they're dedicating too much money to police. So defunding the police really means recognizing that public safety should be reimagined, and we should include the essential services and resources that are necessary as the first step to creating safe communities.
So while many politicians and the public have decried the defunding of healthcare, of education, of course, we don't talk about it in that sense, but that's exactly what's happened, right? Like welfare resources, social services have been defunded. While many politicians and members of the public have initially denounced that, wished there was more, they haven't directly linked it to police budgets, but it's a closed system. There's one pot of money, so if you're pouring money into one aspect of the budget, you have to take it away from another aspect. Are you heartened that this discussion around police budgets within just a few weeks has become such a mainstream talking point?
Absolutely. That defund the police has been the trending hashtag. Defund police is the trending hashtag, right? That every protest that we go to now, people have signs that say defund police. And we were talking about this, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, but people are catching on. Absolutely speaks to the importance of this moment. I think that people are seeing George Floyd and his murder as a last straw, that they're beginning to awaken and recognize that chasing after a bad system of policing is really a waste of time, that we can no longer afford to tinker around the edges, that we have to say that, you know, this is time for transformation. We have to say it's time to defund the police so that we can fund the things that make communities safe.
And so for those people who are looking for resources, there is a very beautifully set up website, peoplesbudgetla.com, which really speaks to how much groundwork had been laid around this issue for quite a few years. There's a toolkit. You mentioned there's a survey as well, which people can look up on the website. But tell me about that survey, because that's what's been so remarkable about the work that Black Lives Matter LA has done. It hasn't just been a small huddle of activists. You've actually talked, you're part of the community, and you've surveyed the community.
Absolutely. So as we were looking at this year's budget, which is particularly outrageous, because of course it came before the murder of George Floyd, which really helped to amplify the demands. But this year's budget was a slap in the face first to Black people, because we had, before the budget came out, saw what was happening around the COVID-19 pandemic and the disproportionate impact that COVID-19 had on Black folks. And we set up a list of demands that we sent over to the mayor's office. And this wasn't just from Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter convened a group of virtually every Black leader in LA County and said, what is it that we need? Because we wanted to make sure that resources to deal with the pandemic didn't bypass those who were most impacted by it. And so we developed a set of 55 demands, which included immediate demands like access to testing, but also no forced testing or vaccinations, right? Recognizing the history of medical racism in Black communities. It really was rooted in this idea that the underlying conditions that were being talked about in the media all traced back to anti-Black racism. And so we had the set of immediate demands, but also the set of long-term demands that got to things like, you know, we were observing an increase of police in our community during the pandemic, which made absolutely no sense because crime had virtually, had plummeted. Right? So there was a 30 to 40% reduction in crime during the safer at home ordinances that we're now coming out of, right? And so it didn't make sense that they were putting more police on the streets when, you know, as we observed what police were doing, police were being stationed outside of food distribution centers where there's virtually no crime, but they were being used to intimidate people. I personally observed police cars in our grocery store parking lots who were using their power to harass Black men who were going into the stores with their face coverings on, right? And so it just didn't make sense. Why would you do that when you could hire community workers to stand outside grocery stores and food distribution centers and hand out masks or hand out gloves or provide educational materials, right? It just made no sense. So we said, in that set of Black LA demands, there was an implication around divesting from police and investing in the vital services that Black people especially needed. When the mayor's budget came out, again, it was another slap in the face. It was an increase to the LAPD budget over, you know, what was already allocated, right? At a time, again, where there's a health pandemic with an economic fallout.
And this is a liberal Democrat.
This is someone who identifies as a liberal Democrat, right? But in many ways echoes people like Donald Trump, right? So as Donald Trump is calling in military on protesters, Eric Garcetti is calling in the National Guard on protesters in Los Angeles. He's having a shot with rubber bullets and beaten by batons. He's rounding people up and enacting curfews as early as 5 p.m. and issuing them at 4 p.m. So really setting up thousands upon thousands of people for arrest for nothing more than so-called curfew violations. So yes, he purports to be progressive. But his actions, you know, James Baldwin says, I don't believe what you say because I see what you do. Hmm. You know, we see what Garcetti does. So he proposed this increase to LAPD while slashing virtually every other department, while furloughing 16,000 workers, mostly Black and brown. And we just thought it was an outrage. And so Black Lives Matter, as you know, is not a traditional nonprofit organization. We are just regular people who don't take a check for doing this work. This is what we believe is our sacred duty. But that also—
You're not getting paychecks from George Soros?
No. No paychecks from anybody. And so, you know, we believe that this is our duty. I'm a mom of three kids. You know that, Sonali.
Yeah.
This work is really about securing a future as a Black mom of three Black children, making sure that they're safer safer in the future than they are now. And so that's what this work is really about. And so it's beautiful, but it also means that we have very limited infrastructure. And so we began tweeting about the injustice of the mayor's budget proposal. And as we did that, those tweets were amplified by other grassroots organizations, but also other organizations that did have more infrastructure. And so an organization called the Justice Collaborative called me on a Sunday and said, hey, do you want help with this? And we were like, absolutely. And she said, well, what would you like to see? And we said, a website. And so they were able to use some of their paid staff to develop the website that we helped to co-create, you know. And we pulled together those folks that were amplifying our tweets. And we've had daily calls for the last, I guess it's been almost a month now, getting things going. And it came together really quickly. And we never miss checking in with each other. It's a daily thing, but really moving things forward. Yet on Monday, as we were engaging LA City Council Budget Committee, we were hashtagging, of course, People's Budget LA. It trended number one in the entire United States.
Wow.
For a period of 3 hours.
Wow.
So this is the degree to which people are hopping on board with this call.
And so there was eventually a cut to the tune of, I believe, $100 million to $150 million. Although that sounds like a huge amount, it's still a small percentage of the LAPD budget, right? Do you call it sort of a first step in the right direction?
It's absolutely a step, and it's a step that didn't come from the awakening of Eric Garcetti. It came from a political calculation, right? So he announced this cut, $150 million cut to the LAPD budget, the day after we had 5,000 people at his front door demanding that he defund the police, the same day that we had tens of thousands of folks outside of City Hall chanting defund the police, and we were told by people inside City Hall that they could absolutely hear our chants. And so it's important to remember that that step came from the organizing and the protest of the people. Also, though, you know, the $150 million is almost the identical amount to what he proposed to increase the LAPD budget by. So I liken it to, you know, sometimes you go into stores that, you know, really jack up their prices, and then they pretend like something's on sale. That's basically what happened. He jacked up the LAPD budget and is reducing it by the amount of the increase. And so it's really important that we recognize that this is far too little too late. This was his budget in the first place. If he felt that it was important to allocate those dollars to the services and resources that communities need, he would have done that to his own budget in the first place. So we're looking for something much more significant than that. And we're going to keep fighting until we get it.
So, Melina, the issue is a national one, not just in LA, although LA has, because of Black Lives Matter's work, been a leader on this. This is, do you see this sort of model being applied to other parts of the country? And how does it contrast with the idea of actually disbanding the police system, as a veto-proof majority of the Minneapolis City Council has pledged to do? There's few examples of it having been done. Camden, New Jersey is one example that's being touted, that a few years ago disbanded its police department and started from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, we're really encouraged by what's happening nationally, encouraged by the announcement of Minneapolis that they're going to be disbanding their police, the divestment from police that's taking place. Minneapolis is becoming this beacon, right? That Minneapolis School District has severed ties with police. The University of Minneapolis, Minnesota system is removing police from their campuses. But it's also, we got to also remember that what's happening in Los Angeles also is informed by things that were happening throughout the country before, right? So I'm encouraged by the example of Newark, New Jersey, where Mayor Raz Baraka has begun defunding his police department, taking dollars out of the police and putting them into teams of community care workers who live in communities, who are unarmed but have the respect and ear of the communities, because they're their communities and they're not there to bully or harass or criminalize community members with guns and badges. They're there to have conversations, anticipate community needs, and engage in real work. And actually, some of that work is spearheaded by an Angeleno, by my dear brother, Akila Shirills, has conceptualized this approach and works with Raz Baraka very closely. And so there's things moving in other parts of the country. I know that Mayor Chokwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi is moving in this direction as well. And so, yes, it's a national move. And I think the pace of the change has been sped up through folks recognizing what it means to be killed by police with the illustration of our brother George Floyd. And so we absolutely, he must have been a tremendous person, because his spirit is all up in this movement and has moved us so forward with such vigor. And I think that that's really, really important. I know that there's also some things moving in Los Angeles that we haven't talked about. There's calls from organizations like Students Deserve and the Black Lives Matter Youth Vanguard to remove police from LAUSD schools. And that builds on their previous work to end random searches and their current campaign to end pepper spray. And all throughout the country, up in the Bay Area, they're talking about the same thing. You see people like Chesa Boudin up in San Francisco working on decarceration, which goes hand in hand with the defunding of police. And so this is a moment. This is a transformational moment in U.S. history and in global history, really.
Melina, for several years now, Black Lives Matter LA has also been demanding that Jackie Lacey, the district attorney in LA, step down. You've had a long-standing campaign. We've had you on our program to talk about it, and weekly protests every Wednesday. I understand that last week's protest got a massive shot in the arm in terms of attendance to something that you and others have been doing for a very, very long time.
Yes, every Wednesday we are in front of Jackie Lacey's office, and we've been in front of her office for more than 2.5 years, demanding that she step down. In Los Angeles, 601 people have been killed by police since she took office, and she refuses to prosecute those officers. She's running for re-election in November. And so it's important that we say this is an opportunity to get her out. As we talk about two national demands are defunding the police and holding police accountable by prosecuting killer cops. When DAs refuse to do this, we have to remove those DAs. So we ask everybody to join us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock downtown at 211 West Temple and demand that Jackie Lacey must go. We're also finding there's a recent LA Times article that shows what we've been saying, that police associations who disguise themselves as unions are the main backers of this district attorney. So both the LAPD union, which is the Police Protective League, and the LA County Sheriff's Association have backed Jackie Lacey to the tune of millions of dollars. We don't have millions of dollars to counter that, but we do have masses of people. And so we want to make sure everybody knows that, you know, all skin folk ain't kin folk. So just because Jackie Lacey happens to be Black does not make her on the side of Black people. And so we have to drive her out of office on November 3rd. And if she wants to leave earlier, we welcome that too.
And so that's every Wednesday. And I should say Los Angeles has been quite a prominent part of this nationwide movement. This past weekend, there were first estimates that 5,000 people showed up in Hollywood. That then kept getting raised to 10,000, 20,000. Some are saying 50 to 100,000 people showed up in Los Angeles. Do you see this as a vindication of the work that you and others have been doing and are hoping to maybe capture this moment, striking it while the iron is hot? I mean, who would have thought that Black Lives Matter would be adopted by the likes of Amazon.com, Mitt Romney, Netflix, and, you know, all of these other mainstream institutions when just a few months ago or a year ago, it was considered too political a statement?
Yeah. The idea that mainstream folks are now saying Black Lives Matter is great. We have to remember that we need people to put their money where their mouth is. So if you're saying Black Lives Matter, but saying that we don't want to defund the police, or you're saying Black Lives Matter and, you know, talking about building trust between Black people and police, you really don't mean what you say, right? Black Lives Matter means that you have to take a bold stand to protect Black life. So defunding the police and defending Black life go hand in hand. We need you to not just say the word Black Lives Matter, but do the work of making Black Lives Matter.
And sadly, neither Joe Biden nor even Senator Bernie Sanders are willing to come out and say that they agree with this idea, even though both claim that they are on the side of racial justice.
Right. Again, put your money where your mouth is. So, you know, Joe Biden has never really demonstrated himself to be on the side of Black people. He's minimized the role of Black people in all of his campaign work. I hope that people remember that Joe Biden was selected to be Barack Obama's vice president in order to balance out Obama. He's always been seen as a conservative-friendly Democrat, right? And so we have to remember that, you know, the answer to Trump is not Joe Biden. The answer to Trump is the people. And so we have to create the change. We have to make it in their political calculation, more advantageous to back the policies and budgets that we need them to back. And so that's really important that we push in that direction. I left something out about the march in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Initially, they were saying it was 20,000 people, but that was one of the most significant moments in the Black Lives Matter movement. We were birthed here in Los Angeles 7 years ago, and we've never seen that level of outpouring. I happened to be on the back of a pickup truck towards the front of the march. And as I stood up and looked out down Hollywood Boulevard, you could not see the end of the march. It went on for 4 or 5 blocks that I could see, but it wasn't even ending at the horizon. It was continuing beyond the horizon. Later, we got some drone footage that an ally had his own drone and flew over, and we're seeing everybody correct their numbers now to say at least 100,000 people were on the streets of Hollywood on Sunday.
Wow. Well, Melina, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out the websites for Black Lives Matter LA and the People's Budget.
Sure. For Black Lives Matter LA, it's blmla.org. And for People's Budget, is peoplesbudgetla.com. So that's blmla.org. and peoplesbudgetla.com. And they can always follow us on social media, on Twitter at BLMLA, and on Instagram at BLM Los Angeles.
Melina, thank you for all the work you've done, and really appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Melina Abdullah, professor and chair of the Department of Pan-African Studies at Cal State LA. She's very active with the Los Angeles chapter of Black Lives Matter. We've been discussing a number of issues, including what defunded the police actually means. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.